Ladies and gentlemen, we present the Navy Lark with our three stars, Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. They say that given the opportunity, even a worm will turn. So when you get a snake in the grass like C.P.O. Pertwee, you can expect about 100 revolutions a minute.
Oh, charming!
No, it was just a turn of phrase, Mr. Pertwee.
Then revolve it until it comes out prettier.
All right, I'll do my best.
Good lad, carry on with the bell, like.
As I was saying...
Watch it.
As I was saying, today, Captain Povey has received a directive from Admiralty which looks like giving the chief his opportunity. And as the gallant captain explains it to Mr. Murray and Mr. Phillips aboard HMS Troutbridge, the situation is obviously viewed with alarm.
Well, so that's it, gentlemen. I can only think their lordships have gone out of their tiny navy blue minds. This directive will have to go up on the ship's information board.
Oh, I don't like it.
Neither do I.
And I don't understand it. Well, that's hardly a surprise.
What?
Now, just a minute. It's hardly my fault that I don't know what all this is about just because I wasn't listening, is it?
No, that is the kind of logic that would have defeated Einstein.
Einstein? Well, what's a chap who bashed great lumps of stone about with a hammer got to do with...
That was it! I could have bitten my tongue out when I said it. Captain Povey, sir, I suppose this directive has to go up on the information board?
Unfortunately, number one, yes.
Well, perhaps we could hide it a bit. I mean, we could pin it up underneath the notice for the Portsmouth and Gosport Working Man's Rotary Club's Grand Flannel Dance with music by Teddy Clunthorpe and his Typhoon Trio.
What? I say, when's that?
As one who has heard Teddy Clunthorpe and his Typhoon Trio, I don't care.
But conceding this notice won't do any good in any case, number one. Chief Petty Officer Pertwee is the type who lifts up notices just to make sure there isn't anything he may have missed underneath.
Oh, well, then it's an impasse.
What?
Pass. That's the thing North Country servicemen get a 48-hour one of when they go on leave. Yes, well, perhaps this isn't a laughing matter.
Certainly isn't, number one. Once Pertwee sees this notice, his application will be on my desk so fast the ink will still be wet.
Oh, I do wish I knew what all this was about.
Captain Povey, sir, read the directive to him again, would you? Thump away at him long enough and he usually catches up eventually.
Right, although I doubt if it's worth the trouble. However, Mr. Phillips?
Sir?
Are you sitting comfortably?
Yes.
Then I'll begin.
Thank you, Andy Povey.
Mr. Phillips, pay attention.
Their lordships have decided that as there is a shortage of officers in the service, men holding the rank of petty officer and above should be encouraged to apply for a commission.
What? Pertwee an officer? Really? I don't see what all the panic is about. He'll never apply, but he will, won't he? Lummy, thank heavens for the army in the airport.
Yes, quite. Well, gentlemen, I thought I should warn you. We'll just have to put the notice up and hope he doesn't bother to apply.
But this is potty. Pertwee just isn't the sort of chap to make an officer. I mean, you need a chap with a sharp brain. A leader of men. One who can make snap decisions and who... I wonder how I became one.
That will forever be a mystery to us all.
Yeah, quite. Mind you, I can't exactly see Pertwee at Dartmouth myself. Dartmoor, perhaps. I know, sir. Supposing we put to sea immediately, then he wouldn't be able to put in for an application.
Don't underestimate the enemy, number one. If Pertwee decides to put in an application, nothing will stop him. He'll bribe the wireless operator into sending it here. He'll row ashore in one of the sea boats and post it, or overload some innocent carrier pigeon to fly it back. He will stop at nothing.
How well you know him, though.
We'll just have to hope that if he does see it, he'll decide not to bother to apply.
Right. Well, after all, he's a lot happier being a chief petty officer.
Yeah, exactly. And if he becomes an officer, he'll lose all his friends.
Yeah, of course. Mm. And there's the added responsibility.
Precisely.
Yes.
Oh, he's far better off as a chief petty officer.
Yes, far better.
Yes. Well, that's convinced us. All we got to do now is convince Pertwee.
Right then, where's me Batman? Able Seaman Tiddy?
Where are you hiding your honourable little self?
What I don't quite understand is why am I looking after you? How did I come to cop the job instead of Able Seaman Johnson?
It's very simple, my son. Able Seaman Johnson is an A, number one, first-class snob. And he won't have no truck with officers. Not even potential ones.
Having been your batman for 24 hours, I'm beginning to see his point of view.
No nonsense. Look, you're loving it.
Nothing.
What are you doing? How long have you been doing it? And why wasn't it finished hours ago?
I've been pressing your uniform with a steam iron, like you said.
There's a good lad. As soon as I've changed, you can press this lot I've got on.
Well, that's the uniform I pressed half an hour ago.
Rightly, but since then I've moved and made a dirty great dent in the trace of my knees.
If you're going to be as fussy about your appearance as all that, you better get a pair of roller skates. Then someone can push you from one part of the ship to another.
Look, don't argue, my man. Get on him. And not so much steam this time, either. Last time I changed and went out, three people thought I was a train coming.
You're still going to apply for this commission, then?
Naturally, Tiddy, naturally. The Pertwees always answer the call in the countries out of need.
Especially when there's an extra few bob in it.
Exact, Tiddy. Look, filthy lucre has nothing to do with it. It's merely that their rollicking lordships have at last realized that it's time Pertwee lived in the manner to which he is accustomed.
He's a what?
A custard. Of course, I'd hardly expect an humble matlow like you to understand, but if you want to know, it's a turn of phrase in constant use by the gentry such as myself. How's your arm in?
All right, how's yours?
You know, I pong a bit of damp wool. But my knees are undented. So I better get across to Captain Povey's office and put in my application.
I still think you're making a terrible mistake. You won't like it. You won't, you know. I've been thinking to myself all morning, Able Seaman Tiddy, I thunk. He won't like it. That's what I thunk. If you're interested.
I'm not. Now look here, Tiddy, I want to tell you
something. I mean, for a start, you won't exactly fit in the wardrobe, will you?
Why not? Why not? I'll chat them all up like anything. Next time the Admiral or any of the other old fuddy-duddies come aboard, I'll stand them a pint all round and I'll bung on one of the LPs of the Beatles. Yeah, after that, they'll be different men.
Very likely, yeah. They'll all look as if they've been hit by a bus. No, you won't like it. I mean, let's face facts. For one thing, you don't talk proper.
Don't you worry about that. That's been taken care of. Look, if you must know, Tiddy, I'm having some electrocution lessons.
Some what?
A bloke I met in the pub last night, he said he was going to teach me. Yeah. He reckoned he'd have me chatting elegant in no time. Yeah, he gives me exercises to practice during the day, and then he learns me another bit every evening. You finished on and not have a uniform yet?
Yeah.
Good lad. Now look, as soon as I've got it on, you fan the steam away with your cap. That's so I can get over to old Thundergut's office without a lot of morons shouting, "Mind the doors! Here comes the golden arrow!"
Good morning, sir.
Safe to come in.
Safe, sir? Safe from what?
Pertwee, of course. He's not here this evening.
It is rather a giggle, isn't it?
Shall we thumping well, isn't it? For the last 3 days, I've spent most of my time sitting on a box at the darkest end of number 8 warehouse. And this weather, that's not a giggle, I can assure you.
Well, the chief has been in several times, but I think you may be safe for a couple of days now.
Why?
Well, I think he's got a cold coming. Anyway, something seems to have happened to his voice. Every time he comes in, it sounds odder and odder.
Odder and odder?
Yes, last time he said something like, "Oh, how do you do? Would Captain Purvey be at home? At home?"
Good grief, that sounds like lockjaw.
Well, all I know is that every time he tries to talk, his head goes absolutely rigid and about 3 inches of neck comes out of his collar.
Fascinating.
He also tips slightly forward on his toes and goes glassy-eyed.
Well, whatever it is he's got, I hope it isn't catching. I mean, we don't want the entire dockyard all talking like that, do we?
Well, I suppose if they sang like it, they'd call it the Portsmouth sound. I do beg your pardon, sir.
Grant, now I must get away from here and back to my box in the warehouse as soon as possible. The longer I'm here, the greater chance the Earthly has of catching me. Now, is there anything for me to sign?
Well, there are these things in your interest.
Let's see. Indent for makepeace? Yes. Routine orders? Yes. Application for commission? Yes.
Ah! What?
He's done it. Oh. He sneaked it in.
You mean Purdy's application? Well, sneak it out again, sir.
But I can't. I signed it before I realized what it was. Oh, how the blazes did he get it in amongst that lot without you knowing?
Well, either during the night or when I popped out to get some coffee.
What am I going to do now? But by signing that, I've given his application my personal approval.
Where does the form have to go next, sir?
The Admiral, of course.
Well, then why don't you ring him up and tell him you signed this application in error?
Of course. Yeah, get him for me, will you, Arnold? I'll explain to him it's all a mistake. Oh, I congratulate you, Rain Jason. Excellent thinking. Yes, that'll put a stop to this nonsense once and for all. So well done. Aye, most great.
Oh, thank you, sir. Admiral's number ringing now, sir.
Oh, good.
Admiral here. Whatever you want, get a move on. They're open.
You know. It's Captain Povey Portsmouth here, sir.
Oh, Povey Portsmouth? Never heard of you. I can't stand idiots with double-barreled names anyway. Chinless wonders a lot of you. But what do you want, Povey Portsmouth?
No, sir. My name's not Povey Portsmouth.
Well, put him on, then. He was a steaming knitter, wanted to talk to me, wasn't he?
I'm Captain Povey, sir, and I'm ringing you from Portsmouth.
Are you? Then I hope you haven't reversed the charges. I'm skint.
Admiral, it's about these applications for commissions from petty officers and above. You'll receive one from a CPO Pertwee, and it must be stopped at all costs.
Eh? One from CPO Pertwee, and he must cop at all costs. Fair enough, leave it to me.
Sir.
Your recommendation is good enough. You know the fool, I don't.
But
I'll see he gets his commission.
What?
Goodbye.
No. Wait, you don't understand. Hello.
Rain Chasen.
Sir?
Next time I want one of your damn silly suggestions, I'll ask for it.
Oh, really?
Well, now, if you can manage it, Able Seaman, what was his name?
They call me Ginger, sir.
Do they really? How clever of them. Now, grab the helm and, a left hand down a bit.
Helm grabbed and left hand down a bit it is, sir.
Oh, well done. It's almost as good as having the chief on the bridge.
Well, nearly, but not quite the same. For one thing, without Pertwee up here, it's so much, quieter.
He's bound to come up in a minute, though, sir. He'll never be able to resist it.
Exactly. The sooner he gets drafted to Dartmouth, the better. Having him drifting about the ship as a sort of glorified recruiting poster is getting a bit much.
Watch it, sir. Here he is.
Oh, how do you do? Dartmouth cadet, nay, Sepia Pertwee, reporting, sir. Can I render my fellow officers some slave assistance?
No, not just at the moment, thank you, Chief. Mr. Pertwee?
So well, San Ferry Agnes. And one does like to ask.
Yeah, quite, most kind.
All is going swimmingly, I trust. No unexpected contretemps. Hold on. No unexpected contretemps. No unfortunate doing.
Only one.
Oh, everything is quite in order, thank you.
Oh, good show. Oh, oh, my goodness gracious. Just look at the time. Tempest is fugitating. I'm due to practice another exercise, you know. Pardon me, you're assembled, I'm sure.
What are you talking about?
Would you mind keeping a little quiet, please? Very kind. Thank you. Three or four out and out bounders are roused in the pardon me. Three or four out-and-out bounders are riding around on roundabouts in nice brown trousers. I said three or four out-and-out bounders are riding around on roundabouts in nice brown trousers.
He's gone cuckoo. And in nice brown trousers.
Right, were you feeling all right?
Oh, yes, thank you, sir. Yes, I'm in splendid Nicholas. excuse me, if you don't mind, I have lesson two here. If to hoot and to toot.
Oh, stone me, where did you dig up this ruddy lot?
If to hoot and to toot, a Hottentot pop. Is taught by his Hottentot tutor. Should the tutor get hot, if the Hottentot top hoots and toots at his Hottentot tutor.
Lummy. What and tot a lot and tot of rotten tot.
No, I think I've gotten got it. I mean, got it. Surely they're elocution lessons.
Yes, they are, sir. Yes, I have to practice them every hour upon the hour until I get them prefect.
Then what do you do with them?
I don't quite know. Wait for somebody to ask me who was on the roundabout or what a Hottentot tutor should do, I suppose.
Oh. Well, if nobody else asks you, we will.
Two cans. Obliged, I'm sure. Allow me, sir. Hello, Bridge. Dartmouth Cadet and ACPO Pertwee up here.
Starboard look out here. Leading Seaman Goldstein chatting, Lord Nelson. Could I speak to Mr. Murray, please?
Goldstein, if I have any more lip from you, I'll belt you a fourpenny one right in your flag heap.
Putting you on to Mr. Murray, my man. It's for you, sir.
Thank you, Percy. Thank you. Hello, what is it, Goldstein?
Well, I've been thinking, sir. And no matter which way you look at it, it's only right, isn't it?
What is?
Why, this business of Mr. Pertwee going in for a commission, of course. Though if layabouts like him can get one, their lordships aren't just scraping the barrel. They're through the bottom and in the muck it was standing on, if you ask me.
Now, look...
Well, hang on, I haven't finished. If Mr. Pertwee's going to be an officer, then I reckon it's up to me to ask you to make certain arrangements, sir. I want to know when I'm going to be a chief petty officer.
Oh, now, really?
Yes, really. And it's no good everyone putting me off by saying there isn't a vacancy, because this time I know there is. And I'm not going to be passed over for promotion again just because I'm Welsh.
Yes, all right, Goldstein, I'll think about it.
What's to think about? I'm the obvious choice. Grab me while I'm going, or else I am.
What?
Going.
Hello. Oh, really?
How these common sailors are a trail at times, aren't they, Jim? They just don't seem to know when they're well off.
You know, he's beginning to make my throat ache.
Yeah, quite. Offhand, I'd say his tutor is not so hot and top.
No. He's probably an out-and-out bounder.
Oh, yes. Ho, ha, ha. Yes, well, now I know who are my friends and who aren't.
Oh, dear, we've upset him.
Yes, I suppose he was a bit unkind, sir. Right hand up a bit.
Right hand up a bit it is, sir.
Incidentally, now Pertwee is an officer cadet. Who is in charge of the stores?
Abel Seaman Johnson is, sir.
Yeah, well, that won't do for a start. Having got rid of the old master, we don't want the star pupil.
That leaves Goldstein for the job, I'm afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid so. That means nobody will get anything unless they ask for it in Welsh.
And have a signed photograph of Lloyd George on their person all the time.
Well, I still don't see why Johnson couldn't be... Oh, dear.
What was that?
Well, sir, while we were chatting, we seemed to have ever so slightly docked.
Doctor? But we can't have done. I didn't issue any navigational orders.
You're possibly not, but the effect was the same.
Amateurs at the helm. Helm, I see. Bad show, chap, really. Pretty bad show.
Pertwee, come back here. Oh, well, tie up forward, tie up aft.
Good morning, sir. Here are the letters you asked me to type for signature, sir.
Thank you. Any news of Pertwee's draft into Dartmouth yet?
Not so far, sir, but I've asked records to speed it up.
Thank goodness for that. He made the officers' club completely unbearable yesterday. He gate-crashed in there at lunchtime, and before he was thrown out, everybody was talking like that. Three captains and a commander are off sick with laryngitis.
I know what you mean, sir. He took one of the wrens out last night and she caught it too. She couldn't get a collar over her Adam's apple this morning. Hello, Captain Povey's office.
Creeping Ivy Povey, what's happened to your voice? It's gone all squeaky.
Putting you on to Captain Povey now, sir.
Captain Povey speaking, Admiral.
Oh, that's more like it. You had me worried for a minute. I've got Rear Admiral Arnbridge on the extension. Yes, Arnbridge here. Yes, that's me. Yes. On the, extend. Turn! No, as you are. Stand at ease. Yes. Oh, yes. Who's that? Me, a clown. Povey, there's been a mistake. All Arnbridge's fault, of course. Yes. Usually is. Yes. But... No, you stop waffling, Arnbridge, and let me get a word in. Povey?
Yes?
Now, don't you start. Povey, it's about these applications from the ranks for a commission. Arnbridge has dropped one.
Yes, one. Yes, one, possibly two. Yes, if not more. Yes.
A mistake, sir?
Hang on, another one to come.
Heavens to Betsy's worse than a party political broadcast. Now listen, Povey. About that directive asking for applications from petty officers and above.
Yes, sir?
It's all wrong. It should have read applications invited from petty officers and below. Not petty officers and above.
Am I to understand that only applications from petty officers and ranks below could be considered?
Well, I don't know if you understand it or not, but that's the size of it. Sorry and all that, but it does that mate of yours Pertwee in the eye, I'm afraid. Sort it out your end. Love to your wife, whoever she is.
No, wait. Hello.
Everything all right, sir?
Don't be ridiculous, Van Chasen. That was the Admiral. Somehow or other, I've got to explain to Pertwee that his application for a commission isn't valid.
Oh, well, I should tell him quickly and go straight into hiding on your box in warehouse number 8 again.
I probably shall.
Now then, let's see. With the wind behind us, of force, and allowing for a cover charge of not less than 10%, including private bath with the sun, at the point where no motorcycle repairs can be undertaken without due notice in advance, I'd say what we need now is, well, as it's his first day back on the bridge, I may as well spoil him and make him feel at home, don't you?
Oh, mm-hmm. Please do.
Yes, I will. Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit it is, sir.
Ah, that's more like it. Welcome to the bridge, Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
Thank you, sir.
Now, it's a shame about the directive being wrong.
Yeah, well, to be perfectly honest, sir, I'm not all that sorry. Talking like that was nearly killing me anyway.
It wasn't doing us any good either, actually.
Well, I still think it was jolly unfair, though. I mean, having made the mistake, they should have stood by it.
Yeah, well, it's very nice of you, sir, but I'm just as pleased. I mean, a few bob a week extra as a Dartmouth cadet don't exactly make up for being in charge of the stores, does it?
Not by a few quid a week, I imagine.
Oh, good morning, you chap. Do hope I'm not interrupting or anything vital.
Well, we are trying to navigate the ship, Padre.
Quite so. And I'm sure you're doing absolutely splendidly. I have every confidence.
Yes, most kind of you, Padre. Now, what can we do for you?
Well, it's rather delicate, matter, but it does seem to concern the wardroom account. You see, during our gallant colleague's brief spell as a member of the upper deck, he does seem to have bamboozled the wardroom steward into letting him amass a somewhat startling account for liquid refreshments consumed at the wardroom bar.
Account? Me, the account? I thought all that wallop went with the job.
Obviously. Yes. Well, as you chaps asked me to act as accountant and treasurer of the wardroom, I am in just the tiniest bit of a fix. I seem to have got a bar bill of £48, 5 shillings and 6 pence, for an officer who doesn't exist.
Oh, dear. Well, that's all right, Padre. Mr. Phillips and I will settle that between us.
Yes, of course. We'll be only two. You will what?
No, relax, Mr. Phillips. I'm sure that given time, CPO Pertwee will manage to reimburse us out of some account or other.
Aye?
Otherwise, we can look forward to finding suitable employment for able seaman Pertwee.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, gents, both.
Well, happy landings. Oh. Is that what they say in the Air Force?
Yes, I believe it is, but it was a nice fall.
Wasn't it, though? Good day to you.
Right, we're coming into dock now, sir.
What? Oh, lovely. So we are. How much clearance to starboard, sir?
I'll ask Goldstein. Hello? Goldstein! Starboard lookout! You there?
No, I'm not.
Goldstein, what on earth are you doing here?
Quiet, peasant. Dartmouth cadet may lead in Seaman Goldstein reporting, sir.
Oh, blimey, you just had to do it, didn't you?
Number one, sir. I'd be obliged if you put this man in irons for being saucy to a potential officer and a gent. And a Welsh gent at that.
I don't think I can stand this again.
Quiet, please. Quiet. I've got to practice.
A 304 out and out bounders are riding around on roundabout.
In nice brown trousers.
Oh, not again.
Here comes another bar, Bill.
Oh, clobber him with a nice tent for somebody, quick.
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been taking some liberties with The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, the padre was Michael Bates, able seaman Tiddy was Laurie Wyman, Taffy Goldstein was played by Tenniel Evans. The recorded production was by Alastair Scott Johnson.